You're listening to the Ministry Grow Show, brought to you by Reliant Creative, the creative agency for gospel-centered ministries. Find out more at reliantcreative.org.
Welcome to the Ministry Grow Show, a podcast dedicated to helping churches and ministries grow and make more effective impacts for the kingdom of God in an ever-changing digital world. Whether you're building and growing a gospel-centered ministry or leading a church, if you want insight into the strategies, struggles, challenges, and successes of other ministry leaders, you've come to the right place. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, we're going to be talking with David Elliott. He's the Canadian Director of Global Recordings Network. David, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you for taking time to be with me and invite me.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the ministry? Maybe why Global Recordings Network Canada exists and what do you guys do?
Global Recordings Network Canada, it started in 1969, but prior to that, in 1939, it started in the United States in California by a lady named Joy Ritterhoff. And she was a missionary working in Honduras and became ill, had to return to the U.S. for recovery. And during that time, the Lord led her to record messages in Spanish, and she sent it back to her people. And that's how it started. Saw the need in the early years to provide audio. It was a new thing that was happening in those days. And so that's how it got started. And as others heard about what she had done, she got invited to go to different parts of the world. She recorded some Indian languages, and went up to Alaska, then going overseas to the Pacific and Africa. And that's for the very early years in the of course, in those days, they were using gramophones and have very short recordings. Over the years, it's developed, so it's gotten longer, and through the digital age that we're in now, expanded a lot. So the Canadian office primarily focused in East Africa, from Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, South Sudan, in that region, Ethiopia, doing recordings. In our early years, we were primarily Western missionaries that would go from Canada or from the U.S. and do recordings of various language groups. That has changed over the years. Almost all the fields that GRN has around the world are run and operated by national missionaries. So in Africa, we have South America, so forth. So the Canadian office primarily supports the work of our national workers in particularly East Africa and sometimes some other countries as well.
Okay. And there's still a Global Recordings Network US-based office as well?
Yes, there is. For years it was based in California. In more recent years, they moved to Arizona. That's where they're operating out of.
Okay. And what is it you guys are recording? Is this Bible translation or something else?
We primarily do Bible storying. Occasionally, we may do some recording of Bible scriptures themselves if there's a missionary or someone's doing some basic translation. But our focus is storying the Bible stories from Old Testament through to the New Testament, establishing the church.
Okay. And so can you flesh that out a little bit, storing what you mean by that?
Yes. Much like you would do in a Sunday school class, for example, you're telling the story about creation, how God created the heavens and the earth and so forth. Or you're talking about the miracles that Jesus doing. So you're explaining them. You're not reading scriptures. So a lot of the languages that we're working with may not have the scriptures in their language. Or if they do, they only have the New Testament or portions of the New Testament. So we want to provide as well the Old Testament stories about creation, about Adam and Eve, and some of the prophets of the Old Testament. So those things are not always readily available in many, many languages. So we want to provide them that history and the plan of salvation from creation, God's plan for his people through the coming of Jesus, our Savior, and death and resurrection. So it's telling this the story. It's not reading scriptures per se.
Okay. And so when you come into a new region or maybe even a pre-existing region or people group or language group, is much of the work establishing relationship and figuring out that language first and then translating what you're recording into that language? Or is it many times, do you guys already have relationship in that region and you've got the language already translated and you can work off of that?
It varies from place to place because the world's a large place. It's got thousands of languages. Workers they do research. Usually we're trying to either find other missions or missionaries that are working on a language group that looking for resources, or nationals, churches that want some material in their language. There's a lot of languages that have either no material or very little material in their language. And even if it was written, they wouldn't be able to understand it because it's an oral society. So we provide in consultation with others that are working in it or familiar with it, what the needs are. And we don't do the actual translation ourselves. That is up to the people we're working with. So
okay.
If it's either it's missionary or national workers, more often than not, it's nationals that we work with that are doing the translation work for their people group.
Okay. Interesting. What are some of the challenges and struggles that you guys run into in the ministry?
Well, a lot of the basic and the common languages have been done. And so those are ones that we don't focus on, but we use it as a stepping stone to another particular language group. So the challenges are the languages that are left that still need to be recorded are sometimes isolated, so hard to get to. And sometimes there's political and there's religious roadblocks that keep coming up that we have to work around. So we have to be creative, and we don't often publicize some of these more sensitive areas working just to not to draw attention to or create problems for either the people we're working with or for future distribution to the materials in those languages. So those are some of the, I guess, major hurdles that we face. God has provided, and our workers are still recording new languages. We have over 6,500 different languages, dialects that we've recorded, and there's still many more that need to be done.
Wow, that's a lot. And within those 6,500, are there how many, what's the average number of stories that you guys have been able to tell? Or is it just vastly different from language to language?
Good question. It is vastly different from language to language. It depends on the region, depends on how difficult it is to translate, to get helpers. Sometimes if it's a sensitive group of people, sometimes we're not able to do a lot. We do a little. So some there may only be one or two recordings that are in that language. The goal is to have at least 10 hours of recordings in each language group, but some of them fall well short of that. And some of them may be older recordings that need to be updated. So constantly reevaluating what has been done in the past and if something new needs to be done or updated to meet the current needs in that particular group.
And so with these recordings, you guys are literally just telling the stories that are outlined in scripture. There's not Bible training involved in that. There's not education content inside of those recordings. It's just literally sharing the story, right?
Yeah. Normally it's telling the story. Sometimes there'd be some application as well within the recordings. Basically it's telling the stories. They're there. And we do teach often when we doing recordings, and we're working with a people group that has either evangelists or churches that are looking to reach into that language group. So I'm helping them to know how to use the materials appropriately.
Okay. That's interesting that there's you guys are heavily leaning on story. We're passionate about story at Reliant Creative. We talk a lot and do a lot of education around story and storytelling. And so this idea, I think this idea originally originates in my research from a guy named Fred Craddock. And he was known as like a storytelling pastor. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he said that has really heavily impacted me is, can you trust the story to be the vehicle to essentially carry your message to your audience? Can we trust story to carry the message or be a vehicle that carries the message? And so you guys are doing that in practice. So that's really cool to see it playing out like this.
Well, people often will remember a story. This is a key thing that they'll remember from it depends on how it's told. So you want to tell it with emotion and so on as well, not just monotone. Excitement and stuff where needed.
That's so cool. One of the things that I saw on your site, and we kind of discussed as we worked through some of the questions for today, was the Five Fish app. How does that play out in the ministry's efforts to provide Bible material in different languages? How significant has that tool been, and what does that kind of look like?
Yes, the Five Fish app has been very instrumental. And it's one of the key ways now. Years ago, as I mentioned at the very beginning, it was a gramophone that they used to use. And then they went to records, short, 15-minute playing, and then they went to the cassettes and CDs. Then the digital age changed all that. Then with the development of the cell phone, now you can use your cell phone or a tablet to download the materials without any problem. And you can see it. I've been in cases where in Africa and Kenya, where we've recorded a language, we've gone and showed them, played it. So we have also visual materials that go with it as well. And then we've also told them about the app, the Five Fish. And they don't necessarily have data plans like we do, but they do know how to download and go to places to download. And so they use it. I have the Five Fish on my phone. And it's here in North America, widely used. We list, in this case, every country in the world, and all the recordings that we have are available simply through your phone. You can download it. You can share it with other people, Bluetooth it. And all the different materials that we have are available. And now with the Five Fish as well, you can not just listen to our own material, but now we're putting some audio Bibles on it. And we're also putting the Jesus film are available on it and some other films as well. So that it's expanded over the years. It's just growing exponentially in its use. I would say the key instrument now is the Five Fish, and we do promote it a lot. It's not the only method being used, because a lot of other organizations put put our material on their devices. This one, Kalumi, is one of the players. Mega Voice and others as well use our materials.
Interesting. So that's really interesting. That is it mostly animation content that is being played with the recording, or is it, you mentioned Jesus film, so there's obviously video capabilities. How much video is incorporated into those recordings?
With our recordings, we've not developed it to that stage where being animation and so forth. Right now, what it has is the audio with our materials. For example, Look, Listen, Live materials, it would be like that. You can't see it, but it would have a picture.
Deki, Suni, or Jili.
This is Hindi.
Pustak Ek. By me, sure.
Okay.
It would go through.
So there's imagery paired with the recordings.
Yeah, they're paired with the recordings, but they're not animated. Okay. That's
so it's like a picture. It's like a image slideshow.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct.
Very cool. That's awesome. And how recent have some of those more creative avenues been starting to be used within the organization versus just the recording, which is what sounds like you guys have done historically?
They've used we have printed books that are still used in different parts of the world and with churches and missionaries and so forth, and as well as the audio. So they paired the pictures with the audio. I don't know exactly when that started, but that's dating back quite a few years, probably in the early 80s when they first initially started doing that. A lot of the stuff is still just audio, but a lot of the newer stuff that's being done, we have what we call the Good News, which is a plan of salvation starting in Genesis, about creation, Adam and Eve, then going through some of the key Old Testament stories into the life of Christ, Jesus coming, dying, resurrection. And so those all have pictures. You can either play it with the pictures or without the pictures. But a lot of the stuff, the Good News, we have another series of 8 booklets called Look, Listen, and Live. And that starts with, again, Genesis, some of the Old Testament key stories, and then the life of Christ, and then the book of Acts, the church being established and coming of the Holy Spirit. That's the series we have. And each of those booklets range from 45 minutes to an hour or so. It depends on how much explanation is put in with it and when they're doing the storying for the different languages.
Okay. How do you guys prioritize or determine the languages and dialects to prioritize as you provide that Bible material and those stories?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, a lot of the common languages or easier languages have been done. And there's other organizations that are working with it. So if, for example, there's a well-established church, they have the Bible in their language and other resource materials, that won't be a very low priority for us. We're more interested in the smaller language groups that don't have materials, they may not have the Bible in their language, or if they do have it, or portions of it, they may not be able to understand it. And so that's our focus, is the smaller language groups usually. I mean, smaller, it could be anything from, 2,000 people to, 80,000, but it depends on the situation. And it depends on the region. We have some cases where we're working in very isolated areas of the world. And we have other places where we're working in that are not open to Christianity, per se, for openly sharing the gospel. So it varies widely, and it's up to our individual national workers to determine what they're going to do in their particular region.
Okay. So if it's you're heavily leaning on your national partners and your locals to determine what neighboring dialect that they might be able to translate into.
Yes. Because they're the ones that are going to be doing it, and they're the ones who know best. They're the ones on the ground. We may have an idea. There's a lot of research that takes place in our U.S. office. They have a department called, it's the language department, language research. And so they do mapping of languages, where they're at. And a lot of that information comes from our various fields. They send it back, and then it's put into our database as well that we have. It's all the languages. And as new languages come up, or dialects, then as well, that is put into our database for either being recorded or a future targeted area.
Okay. Interesting. Well, David, this has been really fun so far to get to know what you guys are doing and learn about your ministry. Let's take a break for our sponsor today. But when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on Global Recordings Network and talking with David Elliott. Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results pages and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up to get 20% off your first 3 months of management. All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with David Elliott of Global Recordings Network Canada about sharing the Bible using app and recordings and in different languages. David, as we get back into the conversation, can you share a success story of how the ministry's Bible material has impacted a specific oral language group?
Good. I've primarily traveled with the mission to East Africa, to Kenya, Tanzania area. I visited with our workers, our recordists, as they've gone out to do recording projects, and also doing some distribution as well. And the key thing I see with is after the recording is done, first they're amazed that they could do the recording, that they could do it. And then when they hear the final product, they're just like a joy comes on their face because we actually have the Word of God in our language. And they're maybe used to the primary language of the country. And that's what a lot of materials is in. And when they hear it for the first time, it just often brings a smile to their face and joy. And then it excites them to be able to use it as they do outreach or growth within their own congregations that they're working. And so I've seen it with various pastors, various meetings been to where they've been, and they always pray over it. They're always so excited to have it, and they always want more. We can't always provide all that they would like. That's a few examples of a lot of the cases where the material, the finished product, I guess you call it, is being used, is not by us per se. We do the recording, we do some initial distribution, but then the material is made available to other organizations to use it, to disseminate it in their particular ministries. So a lot of the results that they would be seeing would be not us directly, but through be others. We often provide feedback through our newsletter of some of the responses of people that have used it and seen people come to the Lord or grow in their faith, or churches that have grown as a result, or have reached out to a neighboring language group that they weren't able to do before because they didn't have any resources. So that's a lot. I mean, each of our national workers could tell you firsthand from their direct contact with people, whether it's in countries such as Nepal or in some of our African countries. The other one where we do a lot of distribution is in Mexico. We have a teamed office there. They do recordings. They do distribution. Every year they do what they call the Culiacan Project. That's held in January, February. And they go into migrant farm worker camps in the Culiacan area, and they do other areas as well throughout Mexico, where farm workers come from the villages that are sometimes very isolated, and our workers go in, they do a diagnostic to find out where they're from, what language they speak, and give them the gospel. And they've had people come to the Lord through that encounter and take the material back to their villages where they wouldn't have the freedom to get it otherwise. So that's just one example of how God has been using it. And myself, I've been on outreaches to these camps as well. And I've gone into it when we play it. They say, oh, you won't have my language because it's such a small language group. And they find out where they're from and they start playing some. And sometimes they say, oh, that's not mine. That's a neighboring one. It sounds very similar. But then we do find it. Then I said again, it just brings joy to their heart, and we're able to leave them with the gospel messages as well.
That's really cool. So there's a significant aspect of what you guys do is partnership, either with local, national believers or other organizations. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. That's one of our key things. I mean, we can't do it all. We have a small part to play in the overall picture. It's other national churches, national missionaries, evangelists, and other mission organizations that are, you know, on the ground doing the work.
Yeah. Interesting. And so as you were talking, I had a couple questions. One was on the partnership, but the other thing was around distribution. So is a lot of the distribution, did you say, was coming from organization or national partners, or you guys are handling distribution, or it just depends on what region in the world you're working?
We make the material available online through our website or through the app are the primary ways to do it. Other organizations that are using it, such as Mega Voice, Galcom here in Canada, that are dealing with, they provide hardware, but they need content to put on their hardware, their MP3 players and other devices. And so we have the languages. And often, if it's a small language group, we may be the only group that has any kind of audio material in their language.
Interesting. Okay, cool. I want to circle back. At the beginning of the discussion, we talked about this idea of allowing story to be a vehicle that carries the message to the listener. I've been talking a lot about this on our YouTube channel. We've been writing a lot about this on our show or on our articles page. It's coming up in conversation in the podcast before, but this idea of orality or story-centric cultures, I believe that not only are we seeing a global communication shift, the greatest since the printing press in 500 years or so, because of digital, we're also seeing, specifically in the West, I think we're seeing a shift towards orality or story-centric communication, cultural communication. It's said that by next year, 60%+ of eighth graders that come out of public school education are going to be illiterate in some way, shape, or form. 22% of those being completely illiterate. And it's because we're spending 8+ hours a day in digital where it's all iconography, image, and video. I think we're seeing a shift in the West to orality or story-centric cultures. And so I did a video recently on our YouTube channel talking about how do we engage with and reach an orality or story-centric world when we're the church in the West specifically is still functioning very much in post-Enlightenment literacy-based cultural communication. Three-point sermons, logic and reason rule the day. And you guys being a organization that is functioning, it sounds like in orality cultures or story-centric cultures, I think there's a lot that we could learn from you as we see this shift in the West. That idea of letting the story or a story be a vehicle to carry truth. Can we trust the story to carry truth and not have to have it be in our face and really logical? Can you maybe share some of your thoughts on some of those ideas that I just brought up?
Global Recordings Network is part of the Orality Network. And so we as well are still learning. We're learning from others that as well develop storytelling techniques and so forth. And that's one of the things when we do our training is there's a portion of it which does focus on that. To get our recordist thinking in an oral sense, more than just recording a voice, but how to make it applicable and exciting. And I agree with you. Yes, our society, even the Western society, has greatly changed as people have tuned in to storying through video and other things that the it is a great medium that can be used to share the gospel. And I think, yeah, churches are shifting some to that storying. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, what we often remember of a sermon is the story that's involved in that one key point that may come out through the story. And so hopefully that's the case as well. People hear the story about Jesus, that there'll be something that will really stick with them. They'll make an impact in their life and they'll remember it as well.
Now, do you guys see your work as more of a evangelism tool? The stuff that you guys produce, the audio content that you're recording, creating, would you classify that as more as evangelism versus like disciple making? Would you make that distinction?
Yeah, I would agree with you. Often, especially if it's a small language group or if it's a new language group that doesn't have any other materials, our key focus always will be to present the gospel because they may not have another opportunity or another means of hearing it. So we want to make sure that goes, center of everything that we record. But also, there is some teaching and some growth as well. But I would say primarily because the material that we do is limited. We have a lot of languages, but not a lot of hours of recordings in all these different languages. That's why things like the Jesus film and other things that can come along and, Bible translation work still needs to go on in some of these, but some of them that are so small may never have, the Bible in their language or they only have small portions. But evangelism is key.
Okay. Because one of the ideas that I've presented in a couple of recent videos that we've done, I don't know that I think story, specifically story and testimony, which we're hopeful that the church starts taking advantage of and using to her benefit more. I believe that story is something that we lead with. It's a what you and I just talked about. It's an evangelism tool. It's a tool to engage people emotionally so that they're prepared to receive the gospel, prepared to receive our Bible training and our curriculum and our disciple-making strategies. Story and testimony and even story in the form of what you guys are doing where you're just telling the biblical stories in recorded form, I think that it's important to lead with those things, but it's not an end-all. Story is not an end-all in and of itself. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 13:13. The disciples ask him, why do you tell so many parables? And in the Message translation, he basically says, I tell stories to prepare people to receive my insights. I'm telling stories and parables for the story to carry the message, prepare them to receive my insights, essentially to prepare them to receive the gospel. And so story is something that we should be leading with. It's not an end all in and of itself. And so it sounds like that's kind of what you guys have experienced is you've told story and used the narrative of scripture or the narratives and stories within scripture. It begins to be a tool to break into these communities and different parts of the world that we've never been able to reach. Would that be fair to argue or to say?
Yeah, I would say so. I realize a lot of people have not heard the basic stories of creation or of Adam and Eve and and then Christ coming. It may be totally new to them. And so doing it in a format that they could understand it without overwhelming them. It's key to get some basic truths out that they will grasp and think more about I'm not saying that they're hear our message once, they're going to accept the Lord or anything of that nature, but it may be part of the bridge God uses in their life.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. How do you guys, or how does the ministry ensure that that the Bible material that you're providing is culturally sensitive and respectful to each language group's unique customs and traditions?
Yeah, I think with we have a training that we, our fellows are constantly being updated, trained, and that's one of the things, to be sensitive. And it probably varies from area to area what our workers' capabilities are. Some are more sensitive to it than others, I would say. But it's it is a focus of GRN to make our workers aware of the cultural significance and things that are particular to that particular language group, and just not to do a blank thing that they're all the same. There are differences. Mm. So they spending time with it sometimes and getting their input, because the nationals are doing the translation. And so I've been in cases where they've discussed amongst themselves what word to use or what expressions to use. So it's going back and forth. So sometimes they may say, someone said one expression, but then they have a discussion about it and say, no, we should use this word or this phrase to better. So sometimes it takes time to get it. And, but the other aspect too that I haven't mentioned is that we also do think there's significance of using music, culturally appropriate music, in the recordings if we can. Mm. So done by the nationals, and that's where they get excited. And previously, it used to be all Western hymns and stuff that were used and presented. Now,
interesting.
The norm now is for nationals to sing their own songs from their own heart that are maybe very different from our Western songs and choruses even that we sing today. So getting the nationals involved, that's in cases as well where they've some do songwriting seminars on how to write a song, how to present it in a particular language. That's not our particular ministry that we do, but I do know of missions that have focused on song as a communication form presenting the gospel.
That's cool. So they're creating their, are they they're not translating the lyrics of a Western song or a Western hymn into their language. They're creating all new stuff based on maybe the theme of that particular story that's being recorded.
Yeah, or their own life experiences and the Christian faith.
Oh, wow. How,
you know, I think people get more excited when it's natural, ingrown to them. And yeah, I've been in some situations. I mean, I don't know the songs, I don't know the language, but I've seen the excitement and the enthusiasm which they sing from their heart, the message.
Yeah. So it's literally their testimony in their own song, culturally relevant to their that particular language group.
Yeah, very so.
Wow, that's awesome. That's probably going to spur on an article that we'll write. Yeah. I've got
you
so many ideas
have someone,
that. That's amazing.
On your talk, on your show, that would be able to have better experience with it and be able to explain it better. But music is a big thing.
Yeah.
Communication, right? In our Western culture as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The lack of use of the arts, the church historically, especially through the Renaissance, used the arts to great effect. And I think we post-Enlightenment or during the Enlightenment, we punted on that and jettisoned our use of that to the world. And we've seen the effects of that Not that we use the arts for altogether altruistic uses back in the Renaissance, but we did have essentially complete control over culture because of the use of arts. And so I love that. I'd love to see when organizations and ministries and are using the arts to, for the sake of the gospel. We serve a creative God. We're wired in his image, Imago Dei, to be creators, to be co-creators with him. And so it's cool to see when that is being done effectively. One last question I think we've got time for. What are the ministry's plans for the future in terms of expanding the amount of content you guys are producing, the accessibility of your Bible material? What are kind of your couple next year goals as you think about the future?
As to the future, I think I think more and more organizations are becoming involved in the audio ministry and storytelling. So there's a lot there. One of the things we've done in more recent years is help other organizations that want to use the medium of audio, particularly in their ministries, to help train them. So we have trained outside of our own group as well. So looking at those that are want it, and what we could share anything that we've, as an organization, have developed over the years and learned to share that with other groups as well. So to broaden the impact requires a lot more people than what just our mission has, not only to recording of new language groups, but also ones that are more oral societies. And like you said, even in the Western culture here, we're becoming more and more oral or oriented as people engage in visual things and as well as in the sound and music and so forth. But that's one of the things. And we're always developing, like the Five Fish app, it's always looking at developing that more and providing more resources as well. There's still a whole list of languages that need to be recorded. And so we are constantly researching that to see what our priorities are and how to use our limited resources to expand the outreach of the gospel.
So there's going to be a even more significant and heavy leaning in on partnership, both on the national partner front and partnership with across other organizations and entities that are doing similar work or work that supports what you guys are doing and what you can support for what they're doing.
That's correct. Yeah, I think partnership is a key for our ministry. I think for any ministry is how we can work together and focus our resources on where the greatest need is and not to duplicate and overlap one another.
Yeah, cool. Well, David, this has been really fun. If people want to get a hold of you and learn more about what you guys are doing, at Global Recordings Network, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, first of all, I think you can find contact on our website on the General Global Recordings Network, and it's just globalrecordings.net. And then you can contact the Canadian office through there. On our community section, we have all the different centers that we have listed, Australia, US, African countries, Asian. Not all of them provide all the details because of the sensitive nature of where they work in South America.
So, right.
But that's the first place to go to is through that. Through there, I'll give you the contacts for our U.S. office as well and their phone numbers. If you want to get more information, how you can help provide either in Canada, the U.S., or even beyond there.
Awesome. Well, this has been super fun, David. Can I pray for you as we wrap up?
Yes, by all means. Thank you.
Awesome. Father, we just lift up David and his team at Global Recordings Network, specifically in Canada. We pray that you would bless and lead and guide this ministry and this team. Thank you for David and his willingness to come on the show and share what you're doing through this amazing organization and ministry. And pray that your word and your stories would get out to more and more people because they need to hear. And so I just lift them up to you and ask that you would continue to bless this ministry. Pray that you would bless them financially, that they would be able to continue the work that they're doing, and that they would be able to find people in different language groups and regions of the world who can translate this content and these stories into their heart languages, Lord. We love you. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing. And we thank you for David and his team. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Zach, for sharing. There's always a need for workers. Myself, we're looking for my replacement. So if you know somebody that wants to be a director in Canada, or even our U.S. office is also looking for workers and helpers and a new director as well. There, so.
Yeah, awesome. Well, yeah, if you're listening and you want to move to Canada and be the director of operations, you heard it here. Thank you so much for being on the show, David. We really appreciate it, and we wish you guys the best.
May God bless your ministry as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Growth Show. If you enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and or review us on the iTunes store. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be an incredible guest on the Ministry Growth Show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at info@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org. See you next time.